members to the committee, our team, support team, and such as committee secretaries, and the team from the Parliamentary Budget Office, led by Professor Janet. We're going to get a presentation from yourselves, Prof, to the committee today. What I'd like to do is to make the discussions easier. We'll do quick introductions. I see this side on the table is the honorable members. I'll start there just for them to say who they are, and then we're going to come this side so that we know who is in the room. Then we'll hand over to the team from the budget office to make a presentation. Are there any apologies? None. Okay. No apologies. Trevor is on time now to for introductions.
Good morning. I'm Lama Tobaza, member of the committee, the ANC.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, colleagues and colleagues. My name is Sheila Shode Sole, African National Congress, member of this committee.
Good morning, Jefferson. My name is Captain Alton Fee, member of this committee from the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, Honorable Chair.
My name is Ahmed Mansour Sheikh Imam. I'm part of this committee and I'm from the National Freedom Party. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, everybody. My name is Omi Lamanana. I'm a member of this committee from the ANC.
Good morning, all. My name is Toyue Maloka, the member of this committee from the African National Congress.
Good morning. I'm Eunice Nyadongo, member of the committee from the ANC. Thank you.
Okay, we start this side.
Good. Thanks, Jefferson. Good morning. My name is Harry Masweu, under the advisor to the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Mohammed Chayan, Director of the Parliamentary Budget Office. Thank you.
My name is Thomas Mukhali. I am guest in the Parliamentary Budget Office. In my full-time work, I'm head of the Great Public School of Public Governance.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Akhilas Gardani from the Parliamentary Budget Office.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Neva Nandi, and I'm also from the Budget Office. I'm the policy analyst.
Morning, my name is Brandon Nels. I'm the finance analyst for the DBA.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. My name is Dumisani Sanchez, finance analyst, budget office.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Ngo Hembus. I'm one of the economic analysts from the parliamentary budget office.
Okay, Landy, we will start with you then.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Zani Hadi, the
good morning, everyone. I'm Daniel Mungwan from PMG. Good morning, my own members. I'm Mokhtar Damir, the president of the committee. Good morning, everyone. I'm Julian Zhang, the president of the committee.
Good morning, everyone. everyone. I'm Conrad Sunil from the Office of National Trade.
I'm
a
member of
the
Okay. Paul Mashadina, chairperson of the committee. We know everyone now. Okay. Is the agenda accepted? Yes, I have my motion. Okay. Seconded. Okay. The agenda is adopted. I will therefore take this opportunity to head over to Professor Chayet to lead us. I'm going to move from here so that you can see the greener seat here next.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much, honorable members, thank you very much for the opportunity that you have provided us to present to you the whole of the Parliamentary Budget Office and the support the PBO will provide to the committee under the guidance of our chairperson of the committee, who also is a board member, an advisory board member of the Parliamentary Budget Office, and I'll explain to you how that works. But we take our guidance from our chair and of course from the committee and the requirements that is undertaken by the committee. Honourable members, okay, my presentation will be outlining the following issues in terms of the Budget Office, the legislative mandate, the core functions, our organizational structure, the scope, the workflow, and the reporting line. As you can see from the very beginning, this is a brand new office. It is just started with the department. The previous parliament was used to establish the Budget Office. And as you can notice, the legislative mandate of the Budget, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, emanates from the Money Bill Amendment Act and Procedures Act of 2009. And very interestingly, Honourable Chair, this act allows Parliament to exercise a very strong oversight role over the budget of the country. Not the Parliament budget, but the budget of the country. And this act allows Parliament to amend the budget or any money bills related to that. So, what the Act actually does, honourable members, is now allow Parliament and, of course, its committees, under the guidance of our chairperson, honourable chairperson, to actually address and exercise a very strong oversight role over the budget of the country. Section 15 of the Act creates an opportunity for a parliamentary budget office. And, honourable members, the objective of the budget office is to provide independent, objective advice, support, work to the committees in terms of providing that oversight role to Parliament, to members of Parliament. So what we have in our honourable members is a technical structure which is at the desk and core of the honourable chair of this committee to undertake specific work that is required by the committee in specific areas relating honourable chair, specifically to money bills. You will also notice, honourable members, that in your committee you have very competent researchers and content advisors, honourable chair, which undertake research, content advisory work. I must say my colleagues in these areas are extremely skilled and they provide excellent support in this regard. The budget of the honourable chair plays a bit of a different role in this regard. So, honourable members, as you note, the core functions of this office broadly will provide you with matters, reports, monitoring of these reports, any issue that has budgetary implications that is required by this committee to be investigated, and also, very importantly, any other reports that other committees submit to the Appropriations Committee, because you play an oversight role and you're an umbrella in that sense. So a lot of other committees, honourable chair, honourable members, will be submitting their kind of implications of budget work to this committee for decision, for discussion. There could be certain areas that you would want the budget office specifically to address, and this is what we will do for another area that we will provide support to you as if you require, as in when it's required, is allow you to keep a methodology in place developments in these areas, and of course issues relating to expenditure, revenue, taxation, a guide to that relates specifically to the mandals. Another area I will share is monitoring and reporting, especially on unfunded mandates arising out of legislation, policy, budget. And a lot of times, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, what you notice is a lot of bills that come to the Parliament to committees which are not hosted. There's no financial implications, so you don't know what the kind of implications are on the budget in this respect. And I think this committee plays an important oversight role. And any other words, Honourable Members, that is deemed relevant not by the Director really, but by the Chair of this committee. So if the Director deems that, the Chair of the committee deems that this is work that wants the Budget Office undertake, this is the work we will be undertaking on behalf of the committee. Honourable Members, this is the organizational structure. As I say, it's very new, Honourable Chair. We now manage to appoint all the analysts, and as you can see, we have three streams in the Budget Office. We have the economic stream, we have a public finance stream, and we have a public policy stream. Now, public policy, Honourable Members, relates to economic, macroeconomic policy in this regard. So our policy analysts, Honourable Chair, are finance economists. Most of our people are skilled in the areas of public finance and economy. So we provide a kind of specialized service in that regard. Honourable Chair, we are in the process of appointing the deputy directors, and we are now in the process of headhunting. And we'll brief you on this chair as to where we are at this stage. But hopefully we'll be able to appoint the deputy directors in the next 2 to 3 months. And that's the structure of the budget office, which is around top people at this stage. There's a very specific reason for this, Honourable Members, in that the budget office will start off small. We will only provide service to the four committees of finance and appropriation in the 2 hours. As you know, there are two in the NA, and there's two in the NCLP. So we will provide support to those four committees at this stage. And depending on how the work pans out and the relevance of the budget office, we will be able to, I think, expand to other areas. Honourable Chair, just to give you an example of what happens in other countries, the Koreans, for example, have a budget office of 1,000 people. And they also have access to 500 independent consultants. But the nice thing about that office, Honourable Chair, is that individual members of Parliament can go to the budget office and say, we want you to do this work. And they'll be able to provide. In our case, we don't have the capacity, the individual members can come to the budget office. So we work through the committee systems at this stage. And as I said, the first starting point is to work through the committee of finance and appropriations in this regard. So scope, Honourable Members, is where the PDO will assist you in terms of monitoring, research, technical analysis that you require. If there are costing requirements of those that is necessary, any macroeconomic or microeconomic research that you require to make a decision with regard to those implications. As I say, at this stage, we'll currently support the Finance and Appropriations Committee in the 2 houses. And it is intended, Honourable Members, depending on our chair, because he will drive the process day forward, do we extend to other committees of Parliament? And how big do we go? Or do we address individual members of Parliament? But I think for the next 2 years, the phase is to support those committees and see how it plays out. And then under the guidance of our chair, is to see how we take it forward, Honourable Members, to the rest of at least committees or Parliament, members of Parliament. This overall, Honourable Members, is what we can provide for you. One of the discussions we will give you today on the request of our chair is a review of the economic and fiscal outlook, which my colleague Nelia will do. We will also undertake fiscal and economic briefs, which will be related to the work of the committee. And we intend sending them out again on behalf and on request of the committee here. Any reports or research report that you require. Honourable Members, I think an important point that we want to bring to Parliament is a stakeholder survey. You know, I think for too long have we only heard the views, Honourable Chair, of National Credit and the information by National Credit. The Parliament is the party of the people. And I think we also need to hear the voice of the NGO sector, the civil society, labour, business, including government. And we need to bring that to you so that you have this information to make the appropriate relevant decision and advice in that regard. So one of our reports, or one of our products, will be a stakeholder survey, Honourable Chair. we will make that information available to the committee to undertake the oversight on this event. Capacity building is important as well, and one of the reasons we have Professor Mukhali, who is the head of the Vitz School of Government here, is to observe and to indicate, you know, what type of capacity building we can bring to the committee and support we can provide the committee in this regard. So hopefully we will assist in building capacity as well. And I think Professor Mukhali, with his expertise and training, will assist us in this regard. Honourable members, just to indicate to you the workload, and this is important, as I've indicated, at this stage we will only be focusing on the chair of finance and on the committee of finance and appropriations in the 2 hours. So it's 4 committees at this point, Honourable Tintori, as I've indicated. What we will do, as we'll notice in terms of the workflow, is that the work will be identified and it will be demand driven and will be sent to the vice office. So the work will be identified in this committee. The committee will prioritize the work, will then submit it to a chairperson of the committee. The chair will decide if it's an appropriate piece of work that is required for the PBO, or it can be undertaken by my colleagues in research, or content advisory. The chair will then forward that on to the parliamentary budget office. We will do the work, provide you with a term of reference, provide you with a report and submit it back to the chair for submission to the committee. So, we will also ensure, Honourable Chair, that we have our people in your committee all the time to also advise you as required. And if there are pieces of work that I think my colleagues will indicate that the budget office can do, we will advise the chair and the chair will decide if this is an appropriate approach or not. So we are here for you. We need your technical support. And the aim is to provide as much information and technical advice to you as possible. This is the reporting live, Honourable Member. The PBO report directly to the Executive Authority, and that is the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chair of the National Council of Parliament. Honourable Member, between the PBO and the Executive Authority, we had a little dotted line. I think there is a little block which we should have put in, which is called the Parliamentary Budget Office Advisory Board. And this is a board comprised of the 4 chairs of the Finance and Appropriations Committee and the House Chair of the National Assembly and the House Chair of the SEOP. And this is an advisory board to the Parliamentary Budget Office in terms of oversight, in terms of providing guidance, etc. In this regard. Honourable members, thank you. That is basically what the Budget Office can do. We hope that you will make use of the Budget Office. And Honourable Chair, as I say, our members will be here for you at any time as you require. And thank you very much, colleagues of the Honourable Members, for the opportunity.
Thanks, Bob. Honourable members, maybe before we go to the next presentation, if you wish to comment on this first presentation, which is read about the role of the budget office. I think I'm beginning to understand it. But honourable members, the chance. Thank you very much, Prof, for that briefing. Maybe one of the things, Prof, you should come back to, there is no relationship with the Auditor General and the scope. Because I just thought those are other key committees, I mean, because the Auditor General, but the scope as well here is one of the key structures of committee parliament, because it deals with what has happened. You know, we deal with things earlier. They come, they can say, well, it didn't happen that way, and so on. So I'm just thinking in my mind, maybe at some point, the project is going to be a relationship in dealing with the Auditor General. But you'll comment later. Let me allow members to. If they think it's fine, we can proceed. Honorable Singh, Honorable Shaw Pestore, Honorable Tabaza, Honorable Anana, and Dr. Marcel, in that order.
Chairperson, thank you, sir. Quick comment, it's the second time that I've had a presentation by Professor Zai, and I have no doubt in my mind that we are in good hands. He seems to make a habit of making difficult topics sounds simple. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think even rural women will be able to cope in this comment because of your problem. because I feel very comfortable right now. But I just have a little problem about the stakeholder participation. You know, I have made an observation that every time people talk about stakeholders, they mean professors, highly educated people with PhDs and rich people. They don't include rural women. When are we as rural people going to be allowed to make an input in the business of our country? I'm very jealous about it. You know, at one time, I was a chairperson for finance in Limpopo, and I made assurance double show that when we have a public hearing, every region, women who could not even write come and input, and I made sure that the community facilitates their input, and I was very happy about that. But in the National Assembly, only professors and doctors and learned friends. So.
Thanks, Honorable Patrick.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I want to appreciate the presentation that has just been made, and immediately also appreciate the fact that you are talking about your ability to provide capacity building for members. I make this specific point because a lot of us are new in this. In fact, almost all of us are new in this committee. And some of us are not really finance funded. And that's the area we probably are likely to worry you about very quickly. So we will be getting through to you and look at that area so that we realize that we don't have time to crawl. We must start running even before we can crawl. But the second thing, I also want to comment about this stakeholder survey, which is very critical. So that we have a broad understanding of how people outside Parliament view the issue of the division of revenue and so on. But I think that one needs to just find out. I know that you are at the moment seeing. And hopefully the office is going to grow because it's really critical to have it. Because I want to raise the issue of your ability, which I'm sure you want to develop as well, to reach out to the ordinary people in the streets. Because all of these factors are important that you've mentioned, but in almost all cases they have a tendency of representing their particular interest, which is important for us to hear and to know how they think. But what then is sometimes missing in those interests is just what the ordinary person is. What does a mandamin think about the appropriation or the division of revenue sitting in a street? As a street vendor. What does a rural person, young man, young woman, unemployed in the rural area think needs to be done? So these are some of the things that the issues that we must begin to tease out. And hopefully Parliament will in good time allow this office to grow so that it has this kind of wider reach so that it can reach debate on this issue in Parliament. Thank you, James.
Then, who was next? I think Honorable Manal.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Let me also welcome the President. This is very informative. Particularly with regards to the Honorable Prof, you were indicated that there are vacant posts for the deputy directors. And as of now, we are busy expanding. If I can get clarity, was this post at the time and why are we expanding not to follow the correct procedures? No, thank you very much. Oh, secondly, sorry, Chairperson, with regards to this chronogram, these posts that I give, are they funded for this financial year? Maybe next year you will be continuing until the end of this system.
Okay. Honorable Madam.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. And thanks to Prof for the good presentation. I think, as Honorable Kwamata has indicated, it can assist us because we are new. We don't know, you know, much about the finances and so on, and the role of the PDO. But I wanted to check here, how can as a country reduce the budget deficit without further compromising the key objectives of the government? This is one. The other one, in the first quarter of economy shrinks by 0.61, which some economic analysts said that the country was in recession. But the Minister of Finance said, no, we can't just conclude that we are now in recession because of the performance of the first quarter. I want to, what is your view of on that one? Because the analysts are saying we are really in recession, and the Minister is saying, no, you can't conclude on the first quarter to say now the country is in recession. So I want to get your view on that one, whether we are in recession or not. And also to share with us some of the economic sectors that were or is severely affected, and what is it that needs to be done to improve those particular sectors.
Thanks, Honorable Nalunga.
Mr. Chair, mine is only one. I just want to check what specific role can Parliament play to enforce these measures to improve the level of downgrading in our country. Thank you.
Okay, so some of the issues are going to come in the next presentation. So maybe those will be covered because the next presentation deals with the economic analysis. So the issues of the FSC downgrading, the ratings will also come in.
The last one. There is an indication on the presentation by Prof here that at the moment they are assisting four committees, two here in A and two in NCOP. I think this office is so critical. If you look at the spending of the department, and we can see also that we still have both packages as my colleague has asked. I want to check, we are indicating here that we are intending to assist all the committees to do oversight in the near future. When is the near future? Because our role we play oversight, we want to hold you accountable to say by that time you'll be assisting, but not just generalize things.
Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I've been covered on most of the issues, but first of all, let me thank Prof for the presentation. I think it's short and sounds simple. It might be more complicated, but as you get to
I think we'll get to learn a lot more about this. I think, yeah, that was one of my issues, is that how often would you be giving us a report in terms of this oversight? Because, you know, we've had in the past an issue where it comes in the 11th hour, and then you have first call dumping and that kind of issue. If you can just tell us what. And the second thing is that what I would like to know is, this is a completely new committee that has been put in place, and obviously it's been put there to try and facilitate this and try and ensure that budget itself is used correctly, is used timeously. What is the mandate of your committee in terms of that, in terms of people complying? You can say.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. Maybe I'll start with Honourable Sheikh's question. I think Honourable Sheikh, and it relates to the question everyone has asked, and the main reason Honourable Chair for the budget office. You know, internationally, the reason they establish budget offices is one thing, is that the role of the executive over parliament becomes centered, and the executive, which is government, takes over the role of parliament in terms of oversight. So what happens is, if you take our national treasury, for example, the national treasury has over 200 policies. They have models, they, you know, when they come, they prepare budgets, etc. When they come to parliament, I mean, we have no support. You know, so we give them these thick documents, and they say, here's the budget, you get it, you know, and you as parliament must exercise oversight of the budget of the country. Because you provide direction to where the economy goes. You know, so if you say, yes, we accept your budget, basically what you're saying is, we agree with the economic policy that you set out for the country. We agree with how the resources are allocated. And we as the parliamentarian are giving you the right to go ahead and step into the world of what, you know, given. So you tacitly approve for the budget. What we noted internationally is that there's this growing tendency of the executive over the legislature, on the honourable thing, to gain that control, because it has more experience, it has more expertise. As you correctly indicated, most MPs are qualified people, but their role is political oversight, honourable chair. Their role is not scrutinizing, you know, budgets or thick documents, or, you know, their role is to exercise that oversight with the necessary information. Like the executive does on this year, you know. But we in Parliament don't have the kind of support to do it. So the budget office, together with our researchers and our content advisors, are supposed to give you that kind of ability to make decisions with the right information. The other role we must play is not give you a stack of statistics, or, you know, which means nothing. If we give you that, and, you know, even students, honourable think, you know, at university, with masters and Professor Mukhari or Beres, you give them thick tables or formulas, chair, they don't know what's going on. So it's not just us or you know, that. So we need to package information properly. So we need to make sure that, you know, information you get makes sense, that you are able to exercise a decision with that information. So broadly, that is how we can providing that support. In terms of surveys, Honourable Chair, you know, I think what I've learned from this committee now is that we're not going to develop a survey about consulting groups. So I think we need to backtrack on that, Honourable Chair. And our members will come back to the committee and say, how do we reshape the survey to suit your needs in that regard? That include rural women, business, labour, etc. in that regard. And you're quite correct, Dr. Mansour, that, you know, your role is to exercise oversight over the budget office as well. So in that sense, Honourable Chair, you know, with the filling of posts, especially with a deputy director, it's a funny situation in our country, Chair. You know, you get people, you interview, you make them an offer, and the next thing they're gone. They use it to do other deals or make other offers. So we've been facing that problem. We've had two rounds of interviews, and we've been turned around every time. I mean, even with our analysts, if I have gone through the same process, Honourable Chair. Fortunately, we have the analysts in place. What we decided now, because it's cheaper, is that we probably go to a headhunting company. so we can, you know, shortlist and then bring people together. And of course, Honorable Chair, you and your committee are most welcome to attend the interview. And, you know, I mean, give your people, these are your staff. So we'll make sure that that happens as well, sir, going forward. Honorable Chair, as you said, the days will be undertaken in the presentation. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I think the issues of capacity, we will also follow them up. The members have already raised that. Professor, capacity will not just mean workshops. We want courses. Members want courses, they want to write, pass and have certificates. Not just one day workshop. But we will liaise with you, because we have also asked our researchers to look into that. The committee is also interested in looking at that best practices, so we'll also be talking to you as to if we have to learn from others, which countries must we look at. Honorable members, probably want to say something?
Okay, I missed on your question about the ADS scope of
relationship.
I think it's an important issue. Honorable Sheikh also leads to maybe the capacity building as well. When you exercise fiscal oversight, Sheikh, you don't only exercise oversight over expenditure, revenue, taxation. What you don't realize, Sheikh, is that we haven't exercised oversight over the fiscal institutions of the country. We haven't exercised oversight over National Treasury, the Reserve Bank, FFC, you know, all these institutions in the finance cluster. So it's an important element of oversight, you know, that you also look at that area. So capacity building has to include, you know, addressing those. So the AG is part of it. Some of the information that the AG produces will be used, by I think our researchers and our budget advisors will really do it. We will use it to back up some of the information you require, sir. But also an institution that you need to exercise oversight over in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So we will look at how related. Because we want to work very closely with the finance committee, as well as those responsible for the role of the Auditor General. So I'm actually meeting the Chair of Finance tomorrow. Because we were talking last time, that's how we appointed the asset. What's your role? Is and mine is that I also don't know. So we need to talk. And we found out very quickly that we are really in the same space. More collaboration, the better. But I think we can't do our work without relating to score by way. So we will look into all this. Honorable Member Shalai, then allow for the next presentation. Some of the questions that were raised are on that one, and then we will then engage with that. I think it's a very important presentation now that we understand the role of the budget office. And we are very happy, Prof, that this budget office is our budget office. Because I was very worried when you were introducing your team and you have financial analysts and all that, like, why don't we have? I said, no, it's yours. Okay, I'm very happy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning, honorable members. I thank you very much, Chairperson. The budget of the team is the economic and fiscal review and outlook. So what I'll be presenting is just the main issues that came out from the analysis report. And we're not going to present it with our entire report. It's a 20-page document. Just the highlights from the report we will be presenting. So we will show you the purpose, the exact purpose of what we did. We will show you a bit of the economic performance, the current situation, and the situation in which the fiscal framework was based, and the impact of the slow growth that Honourable Member referred to. We will show the consolidated fiscal framework and the impact of the economic situation on the current fiscal framework.
they will use specific items from the framework, specifically the non-interest expenditure, interest expenditure, and then we will also look at other outside risks to our fiscal framework. Specifically, we will look at this as the credit rating that our member also refers to. Then we will look at the priority program in terms of programs that relate to our national development plan, the priority spending sectors, and the implications at the end will summarize. In terms of the purpose of this presentation, is to provide members with an assessment of the current economic situation underlying the fiscal framework. They are ever acknowledged the fact that the fiscal framework has been approved already by the 4th Parliament. But economic situation also has an impact on the estimated growth in revenue expenditure, which is under consideration within this committee. It also has an impact on the budget deficit and government borrowing going forward. They will also provide you with a review on outcome of expenditure for this committee to consider for possible recommendations for reprioritization, strengthening of certain programs, or even we can make recommendations in terms of efficiency gains within sectors. The assessment will also assist members with making recommendations for possible adjustments to the current appropriations going forward, especially now the adjustment budget that is the next step in this budget process. In terms of the economic situation, last year we reflect a growth of 1.8%. The estimated growth in 2014 on which the fiscal framework was based for this year is 2.7%, and the estimates of the outer year were 3.2% in 2015 and 3.5% for 2016. However, in the first quarter, our member also indicated we already saw a contraction of 0.6% since the last quarter of 2013. The contraction was mainly due to domestic but also foreign factors that influenced our economy, such as the labor unrest that you saw in the mining sector, and slow growth in manufacturing was due to a depressed demand from our of our other countries and our main partners. And the revised estimates from different institutions for this year is now actually reduced between 1.9 and 2.3%. There is therefore a possibility that government would also revise the growth forecast over the next 18 years. So when we look at the impact of this slower growth projection, revenue estimates are based on economic performance. Therefore, slower growth will also translate into slower revenue collection rates. And if our estimated expenditure remains as we estimated, the budget deficit will increase. Just to explain this, the balance of the budget is just the difference between revenue and expenditure. So if revenue reduces and expenditure remains the same, our budget deficit will reduce. And currently, we're already budgeting for a deficit. We've got the balance between revenue and expenditure, but we are budgeting for a deficit, and then the revenue deficit will grow. And that will also translate into additional expenditure, because if we need to borrow more, it will cost us more in terms of interest. And then I just want to show you this framework. And this is our current fiscal framework. If you look at the top row, the revenue row, you will see the percentage of GDP is stable in terms of this. Then we go down to our interest balance. We're also estimating a stable growth over the medium term. This is the one. The third column, the percentage will remain stable, but National Treasury is estimating, or the main aim is, in terms of the budget balance, to reduce the budget balance. So where does that difference come from? You will see it's mainly within the non-interest expenditure that we're planning to take the money from to fund our deficit. So the non-interest expenditure, which is also mainly consists of expenditure on goods and services, will have to reduce over the medium term to make sure that we reduce our deficit. I don't know if that makes sense to members, but it's there. So when you go over to some of the specific items, if you look at the non-interest expenditure, we did a little graph for you to show what's the growth in compensation of employees was in the previous period. So you will find from 2010 to 2013, the current wage bill grew faster than nominal GDP growth. The black line there indicates the GDP growth, the green line the growth in CPI. So you will see in 2010 and 2011, the growth in our compensation bill was much higher than the growth in the economic, in our economic growth as well as CPI. When we look at the growth in the government wage in 2010, it looks like a big spike, but that spike we can explain because the government implemented the occupation-specific dispensation in that area. But in 2012, it's difficult to explain because in 2012 we reached an agreement with labor with labor that we can increase our compensation with CPI plus one. But you can see the growth in the compensation bill was much higher than CPI plus one, and it was higher than our economic growth. The same happened in 2013. So this is what happened in the past. But going forward, the estimate is quite stable. So what are the possibilities that our compensation will remain stable over the medium term? We already see that in the current financial year, we expanded some of our departments, created new departments. So what will that influence be or the impact on our compensation goal already for the current year? So in our adjustments budget, we will already see a change in the pattern over the medium term in terms of what was estimated in the current budget. This is just to highlight some of the issues that might happen going forward into the next medium term or even changes that will happen in the adjustments issued already. In terms of interest expenditure, the level of interest payments is determined by total outstanding government debt and the cost of servicing that debt. The estimates of interest expenditure are also susceptible to two distinct risks. And those risks are if our federal government debt could grow beyond the estimated levels, then the cost of additional borrowing will increase. And also the downgrade of South Africa's foreign debt by credit rating agencies will also translate into higher interest costs on foreign borrowing and government's ability to borrow outside of the government of the country. Mm-hmm. This is just for interest rates, also the credit rating issue. In June this year, two credit rating agencies already downgraded South Africa's credit rating. The South Africa credit rating, which is subjected to a further downgrade if our economic position doesn't improve. A further downgrade, should also raise our foreign debt costs, and governments would have limited space to raise more debt funding for future budget deficits. This could also necessitate expenditure cuts on programs and such cuts which slow down the implementation of the National Development Plan as well. In terms of the next slide, so we've indicated all these, the poor economic growth, we indicated the impact, and it looks like a very negative picture. But when you're going forward, so what? So what if we can have a negative credit rating, the credit rating is going down, or we need to borrow more and we can't collect all the revenue? In terms of the priority programs for which we budget in government, you will see